Welcome to the OFX podcast. I'm Dave Claxton, and along with me is our tame hybrid racer. Some say she can run on her forefoot while heel striking, and that if she was in charge of DECA, we'd know where World Championship was by now. All we know is she's called Bethany McChesney. Completely stolen from Top Gear, but I had to do it. I was watching Top Gear when I went to bed last night. Like, got to do something different, but. So, anyway, all right. We have lots of stuff to get to, but we started talking, and then went, so Beth, you were going for what is the name? Do they have different workouts now? Quarterfinal workout number one.
I don't know which one it was, but the quarterfinals workout that Miriam Van Roer won again.
Okay, so it's number two.
Yeah, which was just so suited to the hybrid racer, Hyrox racer. It was three rounds for time of 50 wall balls and 50 box over burpees. So I was like, yeah, this sounds like a perfect workout that would fit into my schedule right now. Yeah. So, and then I asked the girls at the CrossFit gym, I'm like, what was your ice times? And they were like, it was awful. So yeah, I thought I'd give it a go today. So in the time that it took Miriam to finish the workout, I finished two rounds,
Ooh.
Not three. But yeah, my legs were not moving very well today. So the box over burpees felt like they took an eternity. Yeah, so I was 20 reps short of finishing it in the 20-minute time cap, but it's a really good one.
And then the box jumps, right? You can't, they're not step ups, they're jumps.
Yeah, you have to jump it. Yeah.
I it's on my list to do, but I just like, I when I got up on Sunday and I got working out, I was like, or I got stretching because it was so stiff. I'm like, you know what? I think all I have in me today is just like kind of some slow, steady work rate. I didn't have any explosiveness whatsoever. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not trying box jumps today. Forget that. It just wasn't going to happen. But yeah, but I do. I want to try them. And I like the quarterfinal programming. Like, I like what they've done. I like most of the workouts, like, I think are feasible, you know, other than the amount of weights on that pure barbell one. I mean, I might be able to do round one. And you know what? This is a learning experience, right? Because we're new with CrossFit. We're like fans, but we're really neophyte. Novices, if you will. But as my understanding, it's kind of the way is you do some of these workouts is, and it's about how far I can get into the workout. I might not be able to complete it, but it's about how far I get. So I could probably get through round one, and I will likely try round one, right? Because it's a cleans, and it's like 135 on the bar. And then I think it's a big jump up to 185 for round two. And I'm like, that's just not in me right now. I just, maybe one day, but not right now. Just not my not my skill set. So I'll try that. And then I need to find a 15-foot rope, because I like that other one with the handstand push-ups and the rope climb. And
rope climbs, yeah. And then you finish with ring muscle-ups.
No, we don't. Some do, but I don't. It's actually and not easy to get to those ring muscle ups. Like, you gotta clip it along to get there to do that. Yeah. But I like that workout. I like, because I can do, it's funny because I can do strict handstand pushups. I can do wall facing handstand pushups. I don't know how to do kipping ones.
Those are
the first ones. I've never done a kipping handstand pushup. So I don't know how to do those. So we'll
take some CrossFit classes, Dave.
It's on easier. The agenda. It is on the agenda. But there are so many things for me to learn. It would be easier because we do have an RX1, right?
Yep.
So my always plan is, if it comes up in RX1, just do strict ones and deal with it. But
no, they're so much harder.
Right now I can do those. I can't do the other ones, so they're not so much harder. They're doable. The other ones, I just look like I'm flailing around like a moron. I kick and fall over, right? So. So yes, on my list of things to get trained, and I'm working on it. Definitely working on it. You know what? So said RX1. Let's talk about RX1 before we go like into our own races and stuff like that. We never do this. I want to announce podiums for the pro division. All right.
Okay.
And this is Dave doing his best not to butcher the French language, which I'm sure I'm epically going to fail. But here we go. In third, we're starting with the women. In third place for the pro women, G. Gagnon Dufour. That could be right. That could be right. Right? In second place, Dahlia Daou, which again could be right. And in first place, Emily Moreau by 7 minutes.
Wow.
Like that is domination. I sadly, because when my race was and everything, I did not get to watch firsthand. By the way, I got to put in a petition that the pros go first thing so we can watch them or something.
Yeah, they used to go first thing.
I would like the pros to go first because, like you say, like I said, we can watch them. Or, but this comes up with High Rocks too, and with Becca. When is the optimum time that you get the most amount of people there watching, and at the same time have a fairly clear course?
Yeah, so really, like the optimal time is in the middle, but RX1 has the way they're doing it right now is, and because everyone's doing the exact same course, so they're going really lightest weight to heaviest. So as it's going, they're taking away the lighter weight. So logistically speaking, having the pros go last is quite nice for them for cleanup.
Or hear me out. If they go first, you have all the weights out there. And as they get lighter, you can put ones away. And then the cleanup is faster at the end of the day.
Yeah, so same idea then. Same
Yes,
idea.
but better.
Yeah. Yeah,
And then maybe I can watch them. And no, actually, that's just the biggest problem is that we're racing expert and the pros are right beside us. And then it ends up very difficult to do. So, all right, for the men. All right, here we go. Here we go. Third place. Samuel Barriere. I think I got this next one real good. Second place, Cedric Lapointe. And first place, Simon Bateau. Or Boteau. Bateau? Boteau. Buteau. You can't just say, You got to take a stab at it. What is it?
BUT?
Buteau. EAU.
Buto?
Buteau, maybe? Buteau? Buteau? All right. But a close race there for first and second, only 31 seconds from first to second. So that's maybe two reps because a lot of them were doing single reps on those plane on that cluster. So that was a good close race. I would have liked to have seen that. So hopefully in the future, maybe we'll get some streaming going if we can get away from our race. Yeah. All right. So I did it. I finally announced podium people for our show. We talk about it a lot and get a lot of people asking. So, congratulations to them. Now, for our adventure and Bethany's reassertion of her dominance. How'd it go?
Yeah, this race didn't intimidate me like some of them because I felt very much w that the movements were all like very comfortable for me until the last barbell, of course. But yeah, it was just so much kind of how we train, like long rows, overhead lunges, slam ball stuff. The run was only 2.4K, but I mean, within the realm of the whole race, it was probably an appropriate distance. Yeah, and then the final complex, we had burpee over bar, step ups with a heavy kettlebell, clean and press with a dumbbell. And then, so our race got changed. We were supposed to have toes to bar. And then, because of the rain, it got changed to 30 knees to chest with five wall walks with two sets of that. Which it's funny because I've never done knees to chest in a race.
I've never done them at all.
It's either toes to bar. Like I've just never done it. So I didn't really know movement standards. So I was very much learning on the fly as my judge was like, a little higher, flick your feet, da da da. So but they were fine in the end. But yeah, wall walks are I'm very comfortable with wall walks.
Your wall walks were slick.
Yeah, probably one of the few people that was maybe comfortable with them. But again, kind of having a bit of a tiny bit of a gymnastics background, I suppose that helps. Yeah. So for me, it really came down to the final barbell. And it was on the line of being quite heavy for me, but you also, considering the amount of shoulders in the final complex with burpees, clean and press, wall walks, hanging tucks, and then you grab a barbell with thrusters and squat cleans. And yeah, it took me a couple. I had a couple no reps. And the same thing, learning the movement standards as you go. So my first one was a no rep because of just a movement standard issue. And then I fell on my second one. But it's interesting. The shoe choice, it's different because you have flat fast running, and then you're trying to do like barbell complexes, which would be two very opposite shoes again, which makes that a little bit tricky. So I was wearing shoes with a propulsion plate, so they're rocking you forward. And when you're trying to do a heavy barbell, and you're rocking forward onto your toes, it's really awkward. So I ended up overcompensating and leaning back, and I ended up falling with the bar on my second rep. But then, I kind of figured it out after that. But yeah, the barbell really took everything out of me at the end, and I had to break it into singles. I didn't have to take too long, but yeah, I definitely did them in singles. But kudos to my judge. He was so fantastic.
He's a veteran. That guy is a veteran. I've raced him. I've seen him since 2017. That guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he was so good and coaching me through it too. Like every step of my barbell step at the end. I know we talk a lot about how we feel like we do get no repped a lot, and but I really genuinely appreciate the strictness that they hold their movement standards to, because and we talk a lot within the hybrid racing world how like the standards, keeping them high and being strict about them just really increases the integrity of the sport, because it's lost when you let things go and we're not holding everybody to the same standard. And some people get no reps for something that someone else doesn't. And I find RX1 is so good about like they no rep people. And like sometimes there was even with one of my wall walks where like my thumbnail was not quite over the line, and he was like, "Oh, that's a no rep." And I walked right back, and then I did it again. And like in the moment in the race, you're like, "Oh my God, really?" But at the same time, I'm like, "Good," because where do you draw the line? Like, it's my thumbnail, but at the same time, it's not totally over the line. And so, anyways, it's I really appreciate the level of their integrity with the judging. So if you're prepared to do an RX1, you have to be bang on with all of the moves, especially an expert. I know as the divisions get down a little bit with intermediate, and there's the other ones.
Yeah,
Otherwise, they're a
for
little bit
sure.
more lenient with some things, but I find with expert where we are, they're very strict about it, but I do genuinely really appreciate it.
So your judge, like I said, I've raced him before, Nicolas Robillard. He actually won his intermediate wave as well. Would have been the intermediate,
Okay.
45 to 54. But like I say, that guy knows the game very well, and is he was a good judge. I was lucky as well. I had a great judge, Shalane, who often races against Riley in her division, and she was spot on. And I got no repped. Well, actually, at first I had Bethany as a judge for a little while.
And then they kicked me out.
As a counter. You were
Well, there was
funny.
no judge, and it's genuinely hard to count to 40 when you're racing.
Well, yeah, because they said to me, I ran up, the head judge was there. They were short judges, which, by the way, please volunteer to judge and help out. I actually got recruited at one time for a brief moment to jump in there as well. The head judge is like, okay, it's a very simple, right? It's burpees and then jump over the thing. Really, the only standard is chest to the ground and jump with 2 feet because we were an expert. And he's like, count loud. So we counted my first couple to make sure I was doing it right. Then he told me count loud. Then you said from the side, you want me to come count? And I'm like, yes, of course. So you come counting. This is the funny part I thought was. So then someone came back, or he came back when you were counting, and asked you, is this your husband? Which, by the way, I told you people do ask. I'm not that old. Anyway, so and you're like, no, he's like your boyfriend, and you're like, no. And it was kind of like one of these things where I don't know if you said this, but it occurred in my head. It's like you were thinking, look, if you don't want me to count, you count.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like,
Yeah.
I'm just trying to help here.
Right. So I was like, but then it occurred to me, well, he kept asking you all those questions, but what's the difference if I'm counting myself for trust as opposed to you counting me?
Exactly.
So anyway, I just thought that was funny, but they had no other option at the time, right? There was no one. So
Yeah.
then Shaolin came over, I think, when we got to the box step ups. And this is where you let me down.
Yeah.
I don't know if you let me down or I let me down, but I grabbed the pro weight.
I just
And
didn't know because the kettlebells don't have numbers on them. They have colored tape, and I didn't know what colored tape you were.
no, neither did I, right? And I kind of looked and I thought I saw somebody else grab one of those color tape. I don't know. So I just grabbed a kettlebell. I should have clicked in that I grabbed the biggest one. And I just started doing these lunges and I'm like, I had been making a little ground up because I'll be honest, I did not have a good run. I just kind of held position and I was making ground up on the burpees. And then I got to the step ups and I'm like, these are really hard. Like, and I'm one that takes a peek and I like to look around and see what other people are doing. And especially if I know I'm in the race with somebody, I like to know what they're doing. And I find it actually helps me. It motivates me. And I look over and they're killing me. And I'm like, how are they making this look so easy? Why is this so hard? Like, I know I can do this. Wait. And I'm like, did that run really burn me out that bad? And like, I was like, I had no idea what was going on. Then I don't know who it was. I think it might have been Robbie. It might have been someone else from the crowd. When I got to 30 of 40, said, I think you're using the pro weight. And sure enough, I was. So picked up the one for the last 10, and I'm like, oh my God, that's so much easier. I think it was only like 10 pounds difference, but it felt way easier.
It adds up,
It
yeah.
adds up. Yeah. So I went on from there. And at that point, again, like I said, at that point, Shelling had taken over. And we went to the knees to chest. And again, very, very high. And never having done them before, really, really being making us pick those knees. I would have preferred the toes to bar. Toes to bar would have been easier. Absolutely. And I got no rep on my first wall walk, very similar to you, was just a thumb on the line. I didn't even see it. And I got up and I thought I had it and I started coming down and I wasn't even all the way down. And she's like, no. And I'm like, oh, okay. And she's like, go back up. And I didn't even hit the ground and I went back up and got back across. So kind of got a half a no rep. And then went back down and that was fine after that. But yeah, like there was close. We were all joking. Like the key to the wall walks were, curling in your fingertips to make sure they were off the line and stuff. So
Yeah.
it was pretty good. And again, like you, I had the same deal with my first cluster when I went to pick it up and go into the, you clean it right into the thruster. I picked it up and I rocked back. And so I kind of stumbled backwards. So I didn't drop right into the squat and hence no rep there. Had to set it back down and start from again. But after that, like you said, I felt like I had the balance figured out. I was like, okay. I think key thing we both should have known better is practice in the shoes you're going to race in.
Well, I did a little bit of the gym, but it's just so different again. Like you're in race mode, you're super fatigued, you've been racing for 40 minutes. And even just like I was really dizzy coming out of wall walks. So after my first set, when I went to look up to grab the bar again for my knees to chest, like I felt like the bar was swaying and I kind of jumped and hoped I was grabbing the bar and I wasn't going to fall. So I felt a little bit off balance just doing coming off of the wall walks too. So I'm also blaming that.
I felt pretty good on the walks because I was chasing somebody and I know that I got them and I knew I had a bit of a lead then going into the bar. I was just like all I had to do was manage gap at that point. And if like I didn't find the weight on the bar heavy. I was quite comfortable with the weight, which made me feel good, which makes me think, okay, good, I'm progressing and things are working well for me. But I was like, okay, the person in front of me was way gone. There was no hope. And the person behind me, I'm like, okay, I have an eye on it. I see where they're at. I probably got like a 3 or 4 rep lead. And just every time he picks up the bar, I pick up the bar and just go from there. And so that's what I did. So I didn't Like that, I think that was the first time I crossed an RX1 finish line, like feeling like I'd already recovered. You know, I felt way less fatigued crossing the finish line than I did coming in off the run. So, oh, probably the best portion for me though, and I think this really might have been for everybody, was the dumbbell. They were, and I understand they do this to the beginning of the year. They were too light. Like, I don't think I didn't see anybody have any issue with that. Like, I went 40 unbroken, didn't use any legs whatsoever, and just yeah. So I think my dumbbell could have been 10 pounds heavier and still would have been appropriate.
Yeah, I think in the whole complex is what they were thinking too. And I mean, we saw a fair amount of carnage with the wall walks as it was. So I think adding too much weight to that dumbbell clean and press, which is right before the wall walks, I mean, that might have changed things. Like, people really struggled with those wall walks.
Yeah, there was. Carnage was the right word, which is funny because they were there last year and people knew they were coming, right? Like that should be something that the experienced RX1 people should have been prepared for. I thought
Yeah,
too.
but I mean, you can do them all you want, but the second last movement of the race always hits different.
Yeah. What did you think of the overhead lunges? Because I never, until I practiced them the week before, had never really done those.
Yeah, like I've done them before. It was a lot coming into the end of it. So it was about 50 meters because it was 25 out and 25 back. About maybe slightly
Well,
less.
yeah, because I remember us when we first looked, we said, well, so it'll be about 40 lunges. And
Yeah.
I know for a fact I was more than 50.
Yeah, it was more than that for sure. Yeah, it was really burning out. So, and it was right after the row, which hits your arms. I wouldn't have probably pushed them so hard with my upper body if it wasn't before the run, which I knew then my upper body would recover on. So the whole event was a lot of shoulders, but that run helped to like recover them a bit. But and the slam ball carry, which was two lengths of the football field, wasn't really enough to continue
No.
fatiguing my upper body. It was fine, I think. The weight wasn't too heavy, 40 pounds. Yeah, so I pushed the l overhead lunges maybe a little bit more than if they were at another point in the race.
Yeah, I think I did. I broke once on the turnaround and I broke once on the way back. And I think I didn't have to break on the way back, but I started thinking, okay, this is really step three. And I just want to be cautious and careful and just, you know. So again, not a familiar movement for me, not knowing how it would affect me later on. So I thought, okay, I'll just take one little break here and get it going because I'm not gonna win here. I'm probably not gonna lose here or whatever, but I'll just keep going.
Yeah.
I did see people go too hard on the rower, which surprised me.
Yeah, start too hard.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. If they started too hard, they finished not well. But
Yeah. It's a long row.
yeah, it was 2,200 meters for the men. Like that's the longest row in RX1 I've ever seen. I
Yeah.
think the
Well,
longest I've
the
done
first race
before.
of the season last year was 1500, and it was also early.
I think that's the
And
most
that
I've
was
ever
pretty
done.
long.
I think that's the most I've ever done with RX1 is 1500. So we're 700 meters further.
Yeah.
And that was, you had to pace properly, like, and especially at the beginning of the race. And I think for the most part, like all of our Team OFX people did that beautifully. Like some great pacing. Everybody stayed. Like, I didn't see where, like, most of us pretty much started and finished at the same pace.
Yeah.
I actually.
I think a lot of that too has to do with the fact that a lot of us race Hyrox. So we're very comfortable with pacing over a 1K distance. And maybe we do a little bit more rowing than the average CrossFitter. I'm not sure, but we probably had the most consistent pacing.
Yeah. Like I went out at a one, I think it was like 153, and my last 200 meters, I think I was 151. So I actually sped up just a little bit right at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good. Would you think of the 300 meter run to start?
I loved it.
Even I liked it. I liked it too. I liked it because
Yeah.
it was, it just, I think it just added. It just, I don't know why it worked. I mean, obviously it was a great advantage for you. You had a good lead going to the rower. One of the highlights of the weekend was Jeff's 80 meter lead on a 300 meter run coming into the rower. And I don't think he went out too hot. I think his collective group decided we're going to take it easy. And Jeff went, I'm going to run my race. And
Yeah.
it was a
Well,
hell
Jeff,
of a
like
gap.
essentially we had the same plan. Like we were gonna do it like a long stride. And his group was like, nope, you can go.
They just, he went out as one of the fastest people I saw on the weekend. And his group said, no, we're going to be one of the slowest groups. You know, and it
Whereas
made
like my group, I always have a couple ladies who are like, we're gonna
it.
try to stay with her. And then and then I got a bit of a gap, but yeah, we did have the same plan, like do it like a long float,
Yeah,
but Jeff had a sizable lead.
I'm gonna say 80 meters. I'm guessing close to 80 meters.
Yeah, I think we timed it and it was something like 22 seconds, which is a lot over 300 meters.
Well, and that's the thing. That's why when I was doing the video, and I'm like, I'm not shutting this off until the next guy gets to the rower because we need to know how far this is. And but it was pretty good. But all in all, I thought it was a great race. Want to say thank you to we had some new people on our Team OFX team. Emily, Shannon, Hannah, and Robbie all came out and killed it. Obviously, Mighty Mason was there for us too, but he's been there before. And it was
The
great.
kids
We
face, I had more questions and comments about the videos of Mason. It's, I think, for a kids race. They do not hold back either. So if you want to give your kids a real challenge, and I thought about this too, like with Spartan and the kids races, they damper it a little bit more than they probably could. And but with RX1, so Mason did the exact same race that we did,
Same
just
distance.
lighter weight. Yeah,
The
same distance.
same row as you.
Yep, 1700 meters on the rower. Like they don't soften it for the kids. So Mason races 12 to 12 and 13 year olds, and all the movements were the exact same. The only thing their wall walks were walkout push-ups, but everything else was the same. And Mason did say he felt like it was the hardest thing he's ever done, but they could do it. And yeah, it just I appreciated too that they don't super dumb it down for Mason's age. There's a kids race where they kind of go through the movements and they don't really have a lot of weight and stuff, but that's the younger guys. But yeah, with Mason's age group, if you're looking for a race and you have a kiddo who's like that 12, 14-ish range, like RX1 really challenges them. So, and watching Mason's race really did like motivate me though. And he had such a good row, and Mason was even rowing the pace that I had set in my mind as my goal pace. And I was like, well, I can't let my 12-year-old son outrow me.
He
So
was dialed in on that row. He dialed in really.
he rode a solid 210 pace for 1700 meters, and I was really surprised. So they do such a good job with the kids, and they don't treat them any differently. And they each have their own judge, and they have movement standards, and they'll no rep them if they need to. And they coach them through things if they're struggling, and they do a really awesome job with the kids' races.
He fought through that barbell.
Yeah, he did.
He had some primal screams and some hard efforts, but he fought through it and it was good. I was very, I'm the same thing. He motivated me. I was inspired. Thanks, Mason. You did great, buddy. That was fantastic. But yeah, all in all, great weekend. Had a blast. I'm looking forward to the next one. I don't know which one will be the next one for me or not. I got to look at schedules and whatnot. Weather was crap, but you know what? We get through it. We're used to that from OCR. That is what it is. And that's why we lost our toaster bar, which in hindsight almost ended up being not needed because by the time we ran, it stopped raining. Kind of dried
Yeah,
out.
I know.
Safety first, right? All right. Moving right along. Why don't we talk about DECA? So DECA this weekend, and I have the results on here. Let's see here where we're. All right. Do you want to do the results or you want me to do it?
I have written them out.
Oh, okay. Well,
So
you wrote them out. You can do it.
yeah. It was an exciting weekend in SoCal this we had a lot of some really solid races. So the women's race was tight, and we had it was kind of a three-woman race pretty much off the hop. So Lauren Weeks, Vivian, and Lauren Griffith were all really tight. So Lauren Weeks, that is the current world record. Do you know how by how much? What I think 20 seconds?
She's the first woman to go sub 32.
Right, yeah. So Meg, it was 32:20-ish
Yeah, somewhere around there.
in Philly last year. So yeah, 31:58 for Lauren Weeks. Vivian, 32:55. Very close with Lauren Griffith, 33:05. So that was quite a battle between those two. Really exciting race to watch. And then we had Katie Duke there, 35:09. So about 2 minutes behind that lead pack of three. So great racing for all for them. Lauren's just so dialed in right now. She's looking
She
so.
is un like she looked so, and she didn't even really have a great bike.
Oh no.
No, like her bike was okay. We'll see if we can find it right here. Air bike. 2 minutes dead.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay, but I mean you compare that to Vivian's 139.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, like I
Yeah,
said.
and Vivian's definitely biked faster than that.
Oh yeah, but what I'm saying is Lauren actually has room to improve, and she's
Yeah.
already world record pace. Like that's a scary prospect. It's definitely the best I've ever seen Lauren look at a deck.
Yeah, just so fast.
Oh.
Yeah, and then so our the men's race, we have our Canadian boy there leading the way, 29:41. First Canadian to break 30. I believe this is the fifth or sixth fastest time.
I think it's six. I think it's six.
Sixth fastest time for men.
Oh no, I
Looks
don't. I'm not gonna say six fastest. It might be he's like the sixth to go sub 30. So he might even
okay.
be further up than that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then Glenn Rax, 30:59, Grayson Kilgore, 31:12. Josh Gonzalez, a regular in the DECA scene there, 32:24. Yeah, Isaac looked so comfortable. He is also very fit right now. He took a pretty sizable chunk of time, 40 seconds or so off of his time from World. So that time would have put him third at the World Championships last year.
Yeah, he we were messaging before the race, like a couple days before, and he says, I'm breaking 30. He was very sure of his fitness and his level, and he was right. Glenn Race, ageless wonder. Like just so fast, such a good run. The one thing when we watched Isaac, one, the new haircut I'm sure helped a lot. But he just like you say, he looked so smooth and solid on everything. And he never looked in a hurry. You know what I mean? Like
Just very, he ran within himself.
he never looked like he was really putting the hammer down, or he's making a move, or making a. He just looked so steady and consistent. It just was so smooth. Was very impressive. Definitely his most impressive run. But, and I think realistically, what is it is like is. Third or fourth DECAFIT he's run. I think he ran two before Worlds, then Worlds, and then this one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so it was fourth then.
Almost fourth one. I mean, he's gone. Grayson Kilgore surprised me because I think of Grayson Kilgore as a non-running strong guy, and I mean 31:12 is no joke. That's a great time, and I was impressed by that. And beating Josh Gonzalez is no joke as well. That's not an easy task to do. So, really impressive. Let's see here what we need to find the team results. Oh,
The
sorry, go ahead.
team race, I when I heard the teams that were matching up for that co-ed relay, I was super excited to see how this one would pan out. And again, I could have any one of the teams. So this is overall team. So we do have the first place men's team in there.
Okay, well,
But
let's
yeah, so
we'll do the men's team there for you first.
okay. Yeah. So James Musker and Tyler Veerman won in 27-14. John Clark and Aaron Nolan, 28-02. And then Andre LeVay and Aldo Soriano Vasquez in 28-51.
So pretty good race. James Muscat, our transplanted Canadian. So official Canadian there, which was nice to see. Former Brit now out in the colonies. And Tyler Veerman, really, this was Tyler Veerman's first DECA experience. He raced in the individual and then raced again in the teams here, and definitely looked a little lost at times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like not quite sure of the, I don't want to say completely not sure of the rules, but maybe not just sure of like, okay, where do I go next? What do I do? What do I do? So he would de definitely looked a little lost at times, which means I think they could have been faster. Definitely if Tyler had not run earlier and if he was a little more familiar with how things went. John Clark and Aaron Nolan, I said this about Glenn Race, but again, two ages wonders. Aaron Nolan is in the 45 to 50 age group. And is
Awesome.
just a beast, just unbelievable. And John Clark as well. Third place guys, I don't really know them very well, or at all, but you know, they look like they put in a solid race. And I think they had, I wonder, they had some good power on the bike, I thought. Where is it? No, maybe not. Nope, 109. Well,
109.
I apologize. Sorry, guys. I tried to give you some hype. All right, let's go to the female. So this one, we didn't get to see a lot because they mixed it in together. But I'm sure that you are very aware that Haley Brogan and Alicia Kuyker are a solid team.
Yeah, so 30-42. So that is, it's a minute off their time at Worlds, but I mean, when it's so different when you don't have teams really pushing you. Yeah, so that they're getting their time in there to qualify for Worlds. They are a consistent, loyal team to each other.
And
Yeah,
a
taking
damn
a
good
minute.
team.
Yeah, they are. And then we have Jessica Cole and Brittany Schaeffler in second in 32-33. And then Ashley Parker and Daniela Pomalaza in 32-42. So Ashley Parker, that's a new partner for her. Daniela is a very good runner. So yeah, they're trying a new partnership there. So
Well,
her time
and
might get them, probably
is
get them
like,
into Worlds too.
I would think so. I would think so. And then you do have like a 2 minute gap between first and second. However, it is a shame we didn't get to see it too much because that looks like between second and third was a heck of a race. It was a nine or sorry, an 11 second gap. So we're talking just maybe, you know, 3, 4 reps on the burpees. So good race. And now for the main event. And it always seems to me that the co-ed seems to be the main event of the relays. I don't know. I just find it the most interesting. So here we go.
Yeah, so this was, and I mean, so Lauren Griffith and Kevin Gregory, who were a team also at Worlds, 26:10, fastest relay time of the weekend. And then Katie Duke and Grayson Kilgore, 26:24. So again, that's a really close race there. And then Vivian Tefuto and Isaac Sanderson in 27:02. And then our fourth place team was Lauren Weeks and her husband Anthony. So those four teams. And I don't remember their time. So 27:37. So they were about 30 seconds behind Vivian. Yeah, so four incredible teams there in the co-ed relay. But Lauren and Kevin, just they took the lead. And yeah, they would be a pretty tough team to beat.
And I think that they just showed again why they are, you know, the best. You know, that like they won last year. They're looking solid again this year. Hats off to Katie Duke and Grayson Kilgore again. They would not have been the ones that we would have picked to come second. But wow, they looked good. They moved really. Katie was running very, very well. And from my understanding, they train together and stuff like that. 31-second bike by Grayson. I mean, that's definitely
Wow.
helpful right there. You know, a 141 row. But yeah, like these run times, 139, 131, 129, 128, 2. Those are some fast runs. You know, even the second last run, 134.9. So I was impressed. Very impressive. Very good running. Good team. I hope that they plan to go to Worlds. And I like, as is obvious here, by 14 seconds, they can give Lauren and Kevin a run for their money.
So did you watch this? Were they splitting the runs?
Yes, yeah, they did split up the runs a bit. It looked like Katie did more, but Grayson did run as well. So, yeah, but she was flying. She was cooking on those
Yeah,
runs.
those are really fast times.
Yeah, I did not know that she had that kind of foot speed. And I was just like,
She
wow,
does.
very impressive, very impressive. So yeah, they did split him up a bit more. Even Kevin did, I think, an extra run compared to normal. I think. Yeah. Did you get to see get a chance to watch this?
I did not watch it, no.
The run of the day, run number one, Anthony Parisini going out at roughly 2 minute mile pace. I've never seen anything like it. Well, I love Anthony. He's a great guy. He is awesome. And he's a monster. But he said himself he was a lot of nervous energy, and he just went out like a bandit.
Is this what his post had to do with by saying not redlining too early?
Yes, I believe it. I believe that would be accurate. Yeah, but he went out and you could almost see the look on Lauren's face, like, what the hell? He must have had like a 20-meter gap on Lauren, who was next in the field behind him.
Oh boy.
He was just hauling. So, but he, you know, they have potential. They'll go to Worlds too, and they have potential to do quite well if Anthony paces himself a little bit better. Like he can do and has done a sub 15-second bike. And in this particular day, I think he said he did about 25 seconds, which is still fantastic. But yeah, he gets wrangled in there. They'll be a threat. They'll be a legit threat. So I was very fun to watch. Again, nice coverage by OCR Report. They did a good job. Check it out on YouTube. Go watch it. Just it was a good event. It was nice to see. And I did take the little jab at DECA earlier saying they haven't announced where Worlds is, but they're still doing good events. It was well done. And it looked like a fun race. I would have I'm feeling racy. Even though we just raced this weekend, I'm feeling very racy now, which is probably too early in the season. Yeah, sorry, there we go. Yeah, so I mean, DECA doing what DECA does. Other things we have here as well, and actually, I guess I should share the screen for that one too. But we got HYROX, and there was actually two HYROX this weekend. One in Berlin and one in Mexico City. And very, very contrasting scenarios with them. So we'll start with Berlin here. So Berlin, what we had, and this was the strangest HYROX course yet. This was the one with no rock zone. And it was really fucking fast.
Yeah, it was so interesting because everything was kind of under a shelter, and then the running was outside. So it was all open air, which is such a big risk, but
They
did
like they I think HYROX likes to get these kind of, I don't want to say freak show, but these visually interesting venues, you
Yeah,
know.
well, it makes it part of the whole experience of
Yeah.
it. Like the venue itself is a draw. And it makes it like a bit of an attraction.
Yeah, but we'll discuss why that becomes a problem so soon, though. All right, so we had Yannick, and I'm not even a, what is that? Because Pala? Yeah, yeah, maybe.
Thank
Aaron Woodman and Robin Stank. Stank? Anyway.
you.
Thank you, Stanky. All right, for the men, that was roughly your podium.
Those
But
are fast times.
yeah, 56-27. And so, to be perfectly honest, Yannick's previous open time was slower than that.
Okay.
So we're looking at like a very, very, very fast course. You had, what do we have? We had the top, all top 10 went under 60.
Wow.
And none of these people were elite 15 people. So when you have all top 10 under 60 and they're not elite, it was just an insanely fast course. And I think where the problem lies here is now, if we look under major qualifications for 24-25, and we go down to the men now. So,
So all of them are in there now.
yeah, they're all going to be like, so yeah, Yannick, he's sitting in ninth now and stuff like that. And it does affect things. So there's people who are like, oh, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. But yeah, it kind of does, right?
Yeah.
Like it, I think it very much matters. I think for a company, again, trying to standardize and seems to want times to be the deciding factor, it's super important that they have standardized. It just keeps going to show why it needs to be a different system, why these time qualifications do not work. Because it's not fair from these people to, let's go to the people in Mexico who had to run a slow course in thin at 9,000 feet of elevation. Like they don't have a chance. That just it just doesn't work. But okay, before we go that, I guess we'll showcase the women.
But the 95% of people don't necessarily care about qualifying.
No, I understand that. But and that's why I don't want them to stop these cool events. I just want them to make the majors open for everybody.
Right. Yes. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Like I like the cool events. Even the stupid beach one in Miami was
Yeah.
interesting, but there's some people can only make it to some races, and some of those people want to try to qualify.
Yeah.
So, they want to make their travel plans, especially it just makes sense to me. Anyway, all right, I tried the menu. You give these a shot.
For sure. Tanya Cruz from Portugal, 106.46, Felina Tank, 107.42, and Sabrina Rotic, 107.47.
Yeah, you did that way better than I did. They weren't
I
that
think
bad.
I had easier names.
I think you did. But again, fairly quick times for these women. Not elite 15 women. Those aren't quite elite 15 times either, but again, very fast course for their previous things. The story definitely was the course. It was just and it was at an airport and visually was stunning and looked cool, but
Yeah.
just yeah, I and hey, that would have been a cool major. Have a major doing that. That would have been interesting, except and then it would have rained and been horrible. But if we
That would
can,
have put some that probably broken some world record times there
oh, I think
with no
so.
rock zone.
Yeah, like here's like if you had the big guns out there, what would the times have been like? We would have saw a sub 52.
Yeah. Oh, Isaiah Vidal is there.
Yeah, he came fourth. Now, and again, just to show you kind of the slow, like Isaiah Vidal, I think in his first high rocks ran like 62 or something like that, and he ran a 112 here. However, I think I did want to see, and what was disappointing because I do know that Isaiah Vidal in his first high rocks as well went unbroken on wall balls. I don't think he did that again because I looked at this earlier, and his wall ball time I was expecting to see something huge, and it was 4:33. So, not the excitement I thought I'd get out of it. But. All right. So in third place, Eugenio Godinez Romero with a 1:12:02. Like I said, narrowly, oh yeah, narrowly beating out Isaiah Vidal. In second place, that guy's name Huge Hugo?
Hugh Hugo, yeah.
It's Hugh Hugo. That's a great name, man. That's awesome. And from Sweden, going to Mexico, which that's, I bet he was the only Swede there. With a 1:08:20 and Aldo Lozano Marquez with a 107.05. So definitely a little bit of difference in times there, and I don't think it was that the athletes were that different. I just think that like that is how fast a course that Berlin course was, and how slow of course Mexico City was. Because I think, I mean, I've never run at altitude, but I think Mexico City is 9 to 10,000 feet altitude.
Oh, you feel it.
Yeah, that would be terrible. And it wasn't near the same kind of cool layout either, so is what it is. But couple of big high rocks races, everything's just getting pumped up for Worlds now. And I guess, well, our next one's Anaheim. When Anaheim's in a few weeks, I think.
What
Maybe.
was the women's
Oh,
results there
right,
in
sorry.
Mexico
Women's
City?
results there. Nearly got myself in trouble there. All right, here we are. There you go. You can do these ones too.
All right. So in third place, we have Barbara Carolina Reyes Perez, 121 for third place in Mexico. Wow.
Can you imagine how much her lungs were burning?
Berenice Betsabe Barrera Pacheco, 120.49, and then Hannah Cook from the US, 117, the winning time.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I want to see where that 117 would have put her in Berlin. We got our women here in Berlin. 117 would have put her in.
Oh wow, not even top 25.
Roughly 30th. She might have cracked the top 30.
Wow, what a different race.
Yeah. So, please, High Rocks, make the majors open. Qualifying from the majors to the worlds is pretty good now. I have one little gripe about it. I think it should roll down to six, or it should roll down to whoever the next three are. But other than that, it's really quite good. But make it this qualification system for the majors is a joke. It's no good. So, yeah. Well, so there, like I said, they. I don't know. It still bothers me. It just shows, it just highlights that it needs to change. I don't have confidence that it will. And I do think that these times for Berlin could end up screwing somebody out of a spot in the majors for 2025. And that would just kind of suck. By the way, I have to say something. So I was listening to the RMR podcast. So Rich, Meg, and Ryan Kent. And they talked about some people having issue with Ryan Kent running in the LCQ. And I think I had said that I had issue with it. And I here's the thing. I want to say that I have no issue with Ryan Kent in any way. I think he's an awesome athlete. I think he's an awesome person. And I mean, I can think of a couple times where he made me feel very, very good about the part I play in hybrid sports. So what he did was completely within the rules. What I do have issue with is the rules. I don't think that anyone who had already qualified should have been able to run the LCQ. That's debatable, but that's my stance on it. I don't think that race was for them. I think it was for the others who have not. And even though he ran in like heat three or four, whatever it is, theoretically, he still could have affected the race. Because you don't know, because it is wide open. You don't know that somebody from that heat could not have, jumped up and won. It is possible, not likely, but it is possible. And he's affecting those people's heats. So I just thought in my mind that race is for the people who have not qualified yet. And I don't think they should have been allowed to run it. But Ryan was allowed and in fact was invited to run in it. So I don't have any fault with what he did. He did everything within the rules and everything he did was on board. So I just want to make sure that he knows and that everybody else knows when I've talked about it that I find no fault with Ryan Kent. I find fault with the rules. And I think you're on the other side. I don't think you cared if they ran it.
Yeah, I mean, he ran in a later heat, so he wasn't really directly affecting the primary race that was happening for the last chance qualification spot. Yeah, I mean, I didn't see an issue with it. Again, he wasn't breaking any rules. He wasn't affecting the primary race. So he was flown out there to be a presence there. and support the race and be a part of it, and while you're there, get a good workout in and run through the race again. So I would have done the same thing.
And like I said, that's where I believe it's debatable and everybody can have their opinion and that's cool. But what is not debatable is that Ryan Kent did not break a rule. He didn't do anything untoward. He didn't do anything wrong. I just disagree with the rules that allow it to happen. That's my stance. Same with I feel the same way about Ronkovich and what he did there. He did nothing wrong. He followed the rules. I just, again, don't like the way that it is set up.
You mean running in the open?
Yes, running in the
Vision.
open. Yes. And yeah, I just feel if you're an elite 15, you shouldn't be able to run in the open because the open is in HYROX's own setup, a entry level race. And as such, it's not really meant for the people in Elite 15. And we made the comparison to Matt Frazier competing in the scaled CrossFit division. Yes, there's no rule that says he can't, but it's not meant for him. It's meant for those who can't compete in the pro division or in the RX division in the case of CrossFit. So
Yeah.
it's
Not quite the same though,
not
but
quite, but it's close. It's the closest comparison I can come to. Whereas Ronkovich made he said, well, it's more like, Michael Phelps swimming in all these different swimming disciplines, where I disagree because all those it would be like Michael Phelps swimming in a lower category. Not in a different discipline, but in a lower category. Again,
Yeah, but again,
debatable.
but where do you definitively draw the line? Because even the Elite 15 has rule downs. So where do you say you can and you can't, after you've reached this level, so where do you draw that line?
Top
Like, I
40.
know what's that
Top 40 time.
in the world,
Yeah,
top
well,
40 time.
it actually, because you asked this before, and my reason I
But you
got that.
said that the times are slightly arbitrary based on
Yeah,
the race.
I know, but you got to draw lines. Anyway, my thing is, they've now said that they will roll down to the top 40.
For
So,
the Elite 15.
yeah, so if they'll roll down to the top 40, you people are elite. Stay out of the open. But again, it's nothing against the racers. They're just doing what they're allowed to do. They're doing what's permitted by the rules. They're doing what they're allowed to do. So it's nothing against them. I just would like that rule to be changed. Or for HYROX to treat the open as a different race, put up some prize money and make it just as legit as the pro weights, and then I'm fine with it too. Then everybody's in.
That only gets tricky because then, same thing, you have some people who, are elite 15 variety who, if they need some cash, they smash an open.
Yeah, well, if the open's a different race, like the way Ronkovich describes it, then that's okay. If
True.
that's the way HYROX views it, which they don't. See, that's the problem is that HYROX views it one way, advertises it one way, but then allows it to be another thing. Right? So it's like a little bit pregnant. I don't know. I don't quite like the way they do it, but hey, I just come on the internet and bitch. That's what I do.
Well, and again, it's not one of these things that happens all the time where we have pro level HYROX athletes who are jumping down to race open. Like, it's a unique situation.
Yeah, and it's not the same as like when, and we'll point out when like Killian raced an elite wave, didn't get a podium, then ran the age group wave. That's different because that's like an out and out choice to race in age group after you've run elite. That's, I maintain that that should not be allowed and that was not cool. And it's not that Killian's a horrible person, it's just that was a dick move. Everybody does it from time to time. That was a dick move. I still don't say what Ronkovich did was not a dick move, but I just don't like it. Did we talk about the Deanna Blagg thing?
We did not.
Okay. I have to. It really bothered me.
Okay.
All right. So a couple of weeks back, DECA had their first ever DECA Strong in Australia, which is super cool. And it looked really, really good. Like they had a cool layout. They had multiple lanes. They had like good visuals. It looked really cool. And for all intents and all intents and purposes looked like a great event. Deca Australia and Decafit and as a tandem put out a post stating Deanna Blagg setting world record, which of course piqued my interest. I'm like, oh my God, awesome. Deanna Blagg, WTM legend, like Deanna Blagg, I'm not sure of exact age, but over 55. Like, yeah, this is amazing. So as I looked into the results, well, I mean, her time was 15:50, which clearly is not a world record. Not even close. And so we kind of like, so I'm already like, okay, great. And this is not Deanna that posted it. So again, not slagging Deanna because she didn't do this. But clearly not a world record. And making her look like she's kind of having a podium, like she's claiming I set this record or whatever. And it really bothered me that Becca did that. And then I looked and it's not a world record, even in age group. Like it's just not. It's close, like 1 second off, but it's not. And I think they missed that. What it is it's the fastest time in her age group this year in this season, which is great. It's awesome. But it's not a world record. And they just left it, and it really bothers me. And then so I try to turn it. So is it a national record? And it's not because she didn't win the event. Is it a national age group record? Yes, it is. As far as I can tell, she's the only one in her age group who's running this strong so far. So I'm just like, oh, it just hurt. Like it's one of those pet peeves. It bothers me. I don't like when people kind of claim false glory. Deanna did not claim false glory. She had it thrust upon her. And I just wish they had either done a little more research before they go claiming a world record, because it disrespects the woman who did set that world, that age group record. And if they did make a mistake, just say, hey, we made a mistake. Deanna Blagg ran the fastest time in her age this year, WTM legend. Great. That would have been awesome. It would have been a fantastic post, but instead it sticks in my craw. So I had to say something. I don't know. I feel, like
Well,
am I
and we've talked about this too with Deca not verifying global leaderboard stuff that just ends up on there. Yeah, it's kind of a part of, again, like we've said, the integrity of the sport. And, world records seem to happen quite often and not a whole a lot of verification process in them just ending up on leaderboards or so it's kind of interesting the way that's all handled.
What would you think if they made the rule where all the records, like Deca records, you had to be, if you wanted to count as a Deca record, it either had to be done at a like a full Deca fit event style thing, or at a, let's just call it certified course, where,
Well, I think it should be.
where like, there's a video of the wheeling of the course. There's a video of the machines. There's a video of the weights, everything. Just one video that the person who sets the course up does in the beginning, so that if someone sets a record or a time that's controversial or whatever the case may be, there's a video to back up that it was a good course.
Yeah, it 100% should be.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
think so.
Because we have so many of these gym events, Strongs and Miles, and it's not even like people do things intentionally, but a couple feet here on farmers carries or sled push, or with the mile run loops, and records are broken within seconds, and in order to like maintain that the sport, the legitimacy of these records, then it absolutely needs to be certified. And we talked about this too with even having an outside party come in and almost having like a couple people sign off on it who's not the event organizer, someone else at the event, a reputable source, or a video that proves that the course is a verified distance. And never under, slightly over is fine. And then, verifying the weights that are used. 100%, I think it should be.
And the machines.
And the machines.
Yeah, because we have heard of those skiers that were used before, which at the time were allowed, but the biggest one we've heard about is Schwinn bikes being used, and that is just ludicrous.
Yeah.
I own a Schwinn bike. It's not even it's not even close.
Yes.
Like a
Yeah.
cakewalk. Like I can do
Yeah.
40.
And I mean, what it does too is it makes you question when, these crazy times are posted and it's like, okay, well, was it? And you don't really know because there's never any proof. And Deca just throws everything up on the leaderboard. And like, I know this because I've hosted events and even I've asked, there's changes that need to be made and it's on the leaderboard before the changes are even done. So they're just throwing them on there without any sort of verification. So yeah, it is a frustration with it for sure.
Yeah, frustrating is the right word. Frustrating is absolutely the right word. We put a lot of heart and soul into DECA, and there's a lot of frustrations for stuff like that because it means, because we care, because it means a lot to us, and we care, and we know a lot of other people that care, that put a lot of effort into it, and just it needs to be fair.
Yeah, and when I host events, I take a lot of time to make sure, again, that my courses are extremely accurate. Measuring wheels, measuring tapes. Like I err on the side of longer rather than too short. Like I don't want people to be running crazy times and people questioning my event. So again, because I take that kind of care with things, I would appreciate that DECA might take some sort of responsibility with verifying courses.
Yeah, and I like I do the same at Farm Girl. We don't have miles because it's just not set up for it. But I do everything I can to make as good a course as possible so people can get good times, but everything is above board. And every run for me personally, I video every run that I do of mine, right? In case ever anything gets called into question. But yeah, we make sure boom, boom, everything is where it should be. The machines are exactly what they should be. The distances are exactly what they should be. And the judging as good as humanly possible. So I just wish that all the gyms took that care and that DECA enforced more that they take that care. It seems sometimes like they just go, here's your event, have at her. Which I
Yeah.
know isn't the case. I know it's not quite like that, but it just feels like that sometimes. Anyway, we've been a while.
Yes, we have
This
been a
went
while.
longer than we thought. We went a little longer than we thought. You got anything else for today?
No, we definitely covered it all. But yeah, we had said we had a lot to talk about this weekend. Lots of races. We are kind of ramping up to a big race season right now. Like that April, May, June is big time races. So yeah, thanks so much for listening. And to everyone that raced this past weekend, congrats on some awesome performances. Thanks RX1 for putting on a fantastic race in Gatineau, as always, and for hosting us very graciously and interpreting for us when need be. And yeah, all the best to everybody this weekend if you're out there, and have an awesome race.
And actually, two things I just remembered. Farm Girl this weekend, still time to sign up for the Strong. And also, we do have a Strong Ruck for the first time ever. That said, if you've never done a ruck, you have to bring your own bag, 20 pounds in the backpack for women, 20, 30 pounds for men. And then you just do the Strong with it. And in 2 weeks from now, is it 2 weeks from now? May the 4th, we celebrate Star Wars Day in London.
Yep, with a PFT.
May the 4th be with you.